Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun. We are holding on daf Mem Tesem days, a few lines from the bottom, at the two dots. Today we're going to discuss four basic topics in the daf. The first thing we're going to discuss is wool shearings that have been used for Atmana. Are they still muktza? Normally wool shearings are muktza because you're going to use them to make clothing, you're going to use them for things that you're not allowed to do right now on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make clothing on Shabbos, so they're unusable for Shabbos. But once you've already used them for Atmana, so you are using them on Shabbos, does that take away the muktza status? Do we assume? No, you use them for Atmana, but it's going to go right back to its previous status of being set aside, designated for something else, for some non-Shabbos use, as soon as you're done with Hatmana. That's the first topic. Then we're going to get into what it takes in general to remove the muktza status of an item. If something is muktza, what do you have to do to unmuktza it, to make it not muktza? Then we're going to discuss using sand to scrub kalim, both in terms of, which is not so much a muktza issue, but we'll see what the issues are, mimachek, and things of that nature. And then the daf is going to conclude with a lot of small topical discussions about crushing olives, using certain types of soap, moving items that will cause muktzah to be moved, a whole bunch of smaller type of topics. So it says in Gemara, four lines from the bottom, Begizei tzemer ve'ein metaltalin. So the Mishnah had said, again, this whole parak is about Hatmana. So the Mishnah was talking about those items that you're allowed to do Hatmana with. So it says you're allowed to do Hatmana with Gizei Tzemer, but Ein Metaltelin. The Gizei Tzemer themselves are Muktza. You're not allowed to be Metaltel the Gizei Tzemer. So Amar Rava comments, Lo Shanu El Shalo Tamen Behen. When do we say that Gizei Tzemer are Muktza? That's if you haven't used them for Hatmana. You never insulated with those Gizei Tzemer. Aval Tamen Behen. But once you've insulated with those Gizei Tzemer, once you've used them, then they lose their muktzah status because now you've designated them for Shabbos use. Says Rashi, the way we're understanding the Mishnah at this point is Begizei Tzemer ve'ein metaltlin are two different statements. That you're allowed to do Atmana Begizei Tzemer, that's one statement. And by the way, Gizei Tzemer generally are Muktza. But if you did Hatmana with Gizei Tzemer, then the Gizei Tzemer are not Muktza. So when we say Ve'in Metaltlin, it's talking about if you didn't do the Hatmana with Gizei Tzemer. If you did Hatmana with Gizei Tzemer, so then it's no longer Muktza. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei Humer Rabbanan Bar Yomei L'Rava, a certain one-day rabbi asked Rava, what does it mean a one-day rabbi? Says Rashi, Osa Hayom Bala Beis Medrash Otchila. The guy, it was his first day in the Beis Medrash, and he asked the following kasha of Rava. He wasn't embarrassed, I guess, to speak up on the first day. Maybe that's what the Gemara is trying to teach us, that Lo Abayshan Lama, that you would think that a guy on the first day would be embarrassed to speak up, but he wasn't afraid to speak up and ask a question when he had a question on Rava. So he asked the following, Begizei Tzemer Ve'in Metaltelin, O son, so the Mishnah doesn't just say that you're allowed to do Hatmana Begizei Tzemer and that Gizei Tzemer are Muktza, but it goes on to say, what if you did Hatmana with Gizei Tzemer? How do you access the pot that's insulated? Because you can't move the Gizei Tzemer. How are you going to access the pot? You pick up the cover of the pot and the Gizei Tzemer fall off on their own. So why would you have to do that? According to Rava, once you do Hatmana with the Gizei Tzemer, they're no longer Muktza. So just move them out of the way. The fact that the Mishnah tells us that you have to do some sort of tiltul menatzad, some sort of indirect moving of the Gizei Tzemer even after you did Atmana with it, shows us obviously that even after doing Atmana, the Gizei Tzemer remain Muksa. So that was a very strong kasha on Rava. So Ela I Itmar Hachi Itmar. The Gemara is going to have two approaches to explaining our Mishnah. One is Rava says as follows, Amar Rava Lo Shanu Ela Shalo Yichton Lahatmana. When do we say Gizei Tzemer are muktza? That's if you haven't yet designated them for hatmana. Aval yichtam lahatmana. I'm sorry. When do we say that they're muktza? When you haven't designated them for hatmana. Aval yichtam lahatmana mitaltelin osan. But if you were miyachid them for hatmana, then you're allowed to be mitaltel them. Then they are no longer going to be muktza. Meaning the point is that once you do hatmana with them, that's not enough to take away the muktza status. But because it could just be as a passing thing, you decide decided to use it temporarily for Atmana. But once you say, you know what, these Gizei Tzemer are not going to be used for anything else anymore, I'm not going to make clothing out of them, I'm not going to do anything that you would normally do with Gizei Tzemer, these are going to be my Atmana Gizei Tzemer. These Gizei Tzemer are going to be used for keeping my pots warm on Shabbos. That's what the purpose of these Gizei Tzemer is going to be. So once you do that, once you designate them, Rashi says, Liolam, that forever they're going to be used for that purpose, that's when they lose their muksa status. But it's not enough to just happen to use them once for Hatmana. So that explains the Mishnah very well. The Mishnah says, if you happen to do Hatmana with Gizei Tzemer, then how are you going to access your pot? Because that's some other case where you didn't designate that Gizei Tzemer to be used for Hatmana forever. But if you designate the Gizei Tzemer to be used for Hatmana forever, then they're going to no longer be muksa. Itmar Nami, and we have a statement of Amoraim to support this. Kiyasa Rav Nam Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Asi Ben Shaul Amar Rebbe Lo Shanu El Shalu Yichton Atmana Aval Yichton Atmana Metaltan Osan. Explicitly what Rav said, that once you're miyachid it for Atmana, then it loses the muktzah status. Now Tosus notes that there is a little bit of a strange lashon over here. What happens? Rava said made an ukimta in the Mishnah. That the Mishnah is talking about you didn't use it for Atmana, but if you had used it for Atmana already, it's no longer muktza. This guy, the first day in the Beis Medrash, asks a kasha on Rava. So who gives the answer? So the Gemara tells us, Ela I itmar hachi itmar amar Rava. Rava is the one that gives the answer. Except that lashon of Ela I itmar hachi itmar is generally not used when there's a conversation ongoing between the person who originally said the statement and who's then answering up what he meant by that statement. Eli Itmar Hachi Itmar is usually reserved for when a later generation will come and ask, oh, what do you think he meant when he said this? It doesn't seem what he said doesn't seem to make sense. And we're, with conjecture, we're trying to figure out what he really meant. That's normally when we say, Eli Itmar Hachi Itmar. Normally, when it's the same person responding, we would just say, Ela Amar Rava. Right? We would say, so no, rather, Rava says like this. That Rava didn't say what we originally thought. So that's, Tosus just points out that this doesn't seem to fit with how this Lashon is used in the rest of Shas. It's somewhat of an awkward Lashon to use over here. Okay, but that's one answer to explain what's going on in our Mishnah. Second possibility is, Ravina Omer, Bishel Heftek Shanu. So Ravina says that really, like Rava said before, if you ever use the Gizei Tzemer for Atmana right away, they're no longer Muktza. What are you going to do with the Mishnah where the Mishnah assumes you use the Gizei Tzemer for Atmana and still you're not allowed to just remove them from the pot, you have to be Metaltel Minatzad? That's Bishel Heftek Shanu. What's Bishel Heftek? So Rashi says, Maracha Gedola, it's like a big pile of stuff in a warehouse. Sha'orchan Moshivan Lahaktosan where you designate them and put them in a special location where it's clearly only going to be used for schora, for business, shakar and tash, bain shal begadim, bain shal tzemer, whatever the product may be, bain shal chagav and basar meluach, meaning the point is, you're not just taking random gizei tzemer and using it for atmana. If you take stam gizei tzemer and use it for atmana, that will be enough to take away its muksa status. That's what Rava said. The Mishnah, when it was talking about gizei tzemer that retained their muksa status, it was talking about gizei tzemer that were part of a warehouse and are going to be returned right back to that warehouse after you're done doing your hatmana. So that was the case that the Mishnah was speaking of, and that's a stronger form of designation for other purposes than just stam having shearings of wool around, and therefore they don't lose their muktzah status nearly as quickly. Tanya Namiachi, we have a brice that supports Ravina. Gizei tzemer shel heftek ein metaltel nosan v'miskinon balabayis l'shamish ben metaltel nosan. If it's shel heftek, if it's part of this storage of long-term storage for other purposes, for schora purposes, it's definitely going to be muktzah. But if the balabayis wants to use them, so then metaltel and then you're allowed to use them. Then you're allowed to be metal to them. Then they lose their muksa status. Tanu Rabba Bar Chana Kameh De Rav Chariel Shel Dekel Shegidron the Itzim Nimlech Alei in the Yeshiva. This Gemara now goes on to discuss how to remove muksa status from Chariel Shel Dekel Shegidron the Itzim, palm branches that were grown for firewood. So you have these palm branches that were designated for firewood. Obviously, firewood is muksa on Shabbos. So is there any way you could take that wood and make it not muksa on Shabbos? Take away its muksa status on Shabbos. So we're going to have three opinions of Amoraim. Each opinion of Amoraim is going to have support from Matana. how to accomplish removing the muktzah status of chariel shaldeka that were designated for firewood. So nimachle in the yeshiva sarich lekasher. Tanakama says you need to tie it up in bundles. Once you tie it up in bundles, then it's you're showing that you're going to use it for yeshiva, that you can use it to sit on. You're not going to use it for firewood. But if you didn't do a maisa of tying it up, it's going to remain muktzah. It remains firewood. That's the Tanakama shita. Rabbi Shumam Liel Omer. Ain't sarach lekasher. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Nah, you don't have to do a maisa. You don't have to tie it up." Hu tani lava hu amar la halach. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Bar Bachana said this in the name in front of Rav. So he who repeated this machlokas tanaim said paskind in the machlokas tanaim as well. He said we paskind Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that a maisa is not so important. You don't have to tie it up. It's just. He doesn't say what you have to do. He just says ein tzarich l'kasher. We'll see exactly what that means. What do you have to do to take away the muktzah status? Itmar. Now we have machlokes in Amorayim about this. Now in Amorayim we find, like we said, three shitos in Amorayim. What you have to do with firewood if you want to take away the muktzah status? Rav amar kosher. Rav says you got to tie it up. Shmuel amar choshev. Shmuel says no. All you need to do is be choshev. You just have to have in mind that you want to use it for something else. For Rav you know what? You don't have to tie it up in advance. You don't have to think about it. All you need to do is actually sit on it. So that's Rav Asi. That if you were Yashav Miba'od Yom, if sometime before Shabbos you actually used it to sit on, so even if you didn't have any Machshava to sit on it the next day, to sit on it for Shabbos, I mean, what do you mean? Didn't have Machshava? You sat on it. So obviously you didn't have Machshava to sit on it. No, it means you didn't have Machshava that you plan on sitting on it on Shabbos. You sat on it on Erev Shabbos. So that alone is enough to show that this is a chair, it's no longer firewood. Now it's a chair. That's Rav Asi's Shita. So the Gemara is going to try to line up each Shita in Amoraim with a Shita in Tanaim. So Bishlam, Rav, Huda Amar Tanakama. Rav works out great because he says exactly what the Tanakama said. Right? Rav says kosher, that in order to take away the muktzah status of the firewood, tie it. Tanakama said kosher. Perfect. Shmuel said that kosher is not enough, you have to be choshev. That seems to align with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, you don't need to be kosher. So what do you think he meant? Obviously he meant, but you do need to do something to take away its muktzah status, but not a maisa. You just need to think about it. You just need to decide in your mind that you want to use it as a chair on Shabbos. El Ravasi Domer Kaman. But what about Ravasi? Which shita in Tanaim does Rav Asi line up with? Rav Asi is the one that said that you don't even need to be choshev. You don't even need to think about it. You just need to sit on it once before Shabbos. That's all you need to do. You don't need to think about what you're going to use it for on Shabbos. So says Gemara, Huda Amar Ki Aitana. Rav Asi assumes like the following Tana. Detanya Yotzin Bipakurin Ubitzipa Bizman Shetzivan. Rashi understands this talking about you can go out with combed flax and with combed wool when you were tzovan shetzavan b'shemen. Rashi still has a gear. So when you were tzoveya with shemen, says Rashi, what does that mean? Goli daite de lamaka kaimi lahanichan ale b'shabbos de lav lerefuah ninhu ela shlo yisrutu malbusha v'smakaso. These are like bandages that you put over a wound, but not because it has therapeutic value, but because the clothing sometimes was very rough and very coarse, and it could hurt the wound. The clothing rubbing against the wound could hurt the wound. So they would put these bandages over the wound, not, again, for therapeutic value, but just to protect the wound from the clothing. So it's not an issur of refuah on Shabbos. The lav the refuah ninu, el shal yistutu malvushav es makasa, Rashi says. Vavle kamal bush diyamu. So it's like part of the clothing. Aval lo tzavan b'shemen de lav malbush ninu, havle masli vein yotzen lo. But if you didn't color it in some way, so then it shows that it's not a malbush, and then it would be considered something that's usher to walk out with into a Rosh Hasharabim. The karchan, the mashicha, and you tie it on to the wound with the mashicha. You take some sort of string and you tie it on to the wood, to the wound. Lo tzavan b'shemen v'lo karchan b'mashicha ein yotzin behem. But if you're not sovei it, then you're not allowed to be yotze with it. V'im yotze ben sha'a achas mivod yom, afal pi shelo tzav v'lo karchan b'mashicha. Here's the key line. If you went out with it, shah achas mibod yom, you didn't think about it, you didn't do any maisa to it to make it no longer something that's usher to carry, All you did is you actually used it. You went out. Mivod yom. Then you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos as well. So you see that that's exactly like Rav Asi's opinion when it comes to mukta. Rav Asi said, you want to make this firewood no longer firewood? Use it as something that's not firewood. Mivod yom, when it's still Friday. It's exactly what this Shita in Tanaim is saying as well. Now it happens to be Tosos learns a little bit differently. Tosos says that it's not about hotzah, it's not about being yotze with it. That's not the issue, because how can you bring a raya from a halacha stated by hotzah to a halacha of mukta? Maybe to change the designation of something, whether it's mukta, would require different actions or different thoughts or a different process than changing the status of something in regards to a malach d'oraisa of hotzah. So is this Tana really a support for a Vasi? So if you look at Tosos, Avalotzav Shem Nein Yotzin Ben, Lav Davke in Yotzin. Tosos says it's not about Hotzah over here. We're not talking about so much, our emphasis is not what you're allowed to go out with. Dafilu L'Taltala Maser. The point is that it's Muktzah, Lufi She'enu Muchanim, because it's not designated for Shabbos use. Elenokat Ein Yotzin Agav Reisha. We happen to mention Ein Yotzin Agav the Reisha when we talk about Yotzin. Ubesamach Lami to come Rav Liyatzah Ben Shachas Mibod Yom. And then when we say our punchline, that if you went Shachas Mibod Yom, that's going to make it okay. Lav Dafka Yotzah. Meaning the point isn't that you went out with it, the point is that you used it in your house. You put it on your wound to protect your wound from the clothing in your house. That makes it not mukta. That makes these bandages not mukta. So according to Tosfos, it's a much more direct proof, because we're talking about an item, we're talking about materials that would be mukta, but once you designate them as use for a bandaging on a wound, for clothing on it, for dressing on a wound, that would take away its mukta status. How do you take away its mukta status? So the Bryce says explicitly, just use it before Shabbos. Just use it for that purpose before Shabbos. That lines up perfectly with Rav Asi in terms of taking away the status of the mukta wood. How do you take away the status of the mukta firewood? Just use it for sitting on before Shabbos, and that will take away the status of the mukta. Amar Rav Asi, Avinanami Tanina, Hakash al Gabe Amita, Lo Yinanenu Biyado, Avinanenu Begufo. If you have straw on your bed, so the straw is mukta, you're not allowed to handle it with your hand. But you could do tiltul menatzad by moving your body around on it and having the straw move around that way. But if you had sheets on it, you had pillows on it already before Shabbos started, then it's no longer mukta. What's the point? The point is that you're already using the kash as bedding before Shabbos. The point is, as soon as you use it before Shabbos for that purpose, that's enough to take away its mukta status. So we see that's enough. Now, if you look at Rashi, Shoyel of Karo Sadin Mibod Yom, Rashi says it wouldn't be enough to actually have pillows on it Mibod Yom. Rather, Sheshach of a love Mibod Yom, Rashi says. V'afal pishlo yichtu l'kach. Meaning the point is not that you designated it for use, because remember, we're trying to explain the sheet of Rav Asi, who holds you don't need to designate it. Machshava is not necessary. Shmuel's one that said that you have to have machshava. You have to think about, I want to use this as a non-mukts item on Shabbos. According to Rav Asi, you don't need to think anything. You just need to use it once before Shabbos. So in order to make this line up, Rashi says, the case must not be that you put a pillow and a cover on it, because by doing that, you're showing a designation. That's not actually using it. The point isn't that you put a pillow on it. The point is that you used it once before Shabbos. That's how Rashi understands over here. If I'm not mistaken, that not all Rishonim accept that. I think the Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says that... That you were not shochev on it, meaning that you do any sort of maisa to show that this is how you want to use it, even just putting a pillow on it. You don't have to actually use it, just doing any sort of maisa miba odyom to show that this is how it's going to be used miba odyom, even without thinking about how you want to use it on Shabbos, that would be enough. And that's the point of the Gemara. Okay, uman tana de paligal edram shum umliel. Now going back, we started with the Tanakama, who said that if you want to take this firewood and you want to make it no longer muktzah, so the Tanakama said you have to tie it up but we don't know who this Tanakama is. So the Gemara wants to try to identify who's the Tanakama that says you actually need to do a Maisa to make it no longer Muktza, a Maisa with the item itself, like tying up the wood. So who's that Tana? Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. It's Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. When Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Pamach hasholach Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva l'makom echad. One time Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva went to a certain place. Umatzel chariyos shel dekel shegadrum l'shum eitzim, and he found a bunch of wood that was designated to be used for wood, for firewood. Va'amr lehem l'talmidav tzu'u v'chishvu k'dei sheneshav alein l'machar. So he said to them, go have a machshava that you want to think about these, that you want to use these things on Shabbos. It was Erev Shabbos, and he said, if we don't want this wood to be muktzah on Shabbos, we need to have a machshava of how we're going to use it on Shabbos. V'lo yadana ibeis ha-mishtah hava, ibeis ha-avel hava. But we don't know if that situation was a story of a beis ha-mishtah or a beis ha-avel, where he said that that's what the machshava that you have to have in order to be able to use it for Shabbos. Now, what do you mean, beis ha-mishtah, beis ha-avel? So, midkamari beis ha-mishtah hava, ibeis ha-avel hava, from the fact that it has to have been one or the other, that it must have been a beis ha-mishtah or a beis ha-avel, we see, dafka beis ha-avel, beis ha-mishtah detridi. What you see from there is that when is mental designation enough where you don't have to do a maisa? That's only in the situation of a beis hamishtah or a beis ha'avel, where a person is very tarred, as Rashi says, and they're therefore unable, they're very busy, and they're therefore unable to tie it on Erev Shabbos, to do a maisa on Erev Shabbos. So that's where we say, okay, you want to take away its muktzah status, just have a machshava. But aval hacha kasher in lo kasher lo. But in a normal circumstance where you're not making a chasana on Friday night, where you don't have a beis ha'avel that you have to worry about, under normal circumstances, if you want to take away the muktzah status of wood, the implication is that you actually need to be kosher, that you actually need to do a maisa. So that must be the tana that holds like Tanakama. So what you see from here is that the Tanakama holds, yes, if you want to take away muktzah status of wood, you need to do a maisa. But he also is lenient in a beis hamishtah beis ha'avel. When you're very tired and you're not going to be able to do a maisa, he'll be make like Rav Shimon Gamliel that a machshava alone would suffice. Tosus over here says v'loyadani beis ha'avel ha'avel. Tiny little Tosus at the bottom, unclear what he's saying. Pirish imishum beis ha'avel hitir imishum beis hamishtah. What does that mean? What did Tosus add that we didn't get from the Gemara? That we don't know why he was matir. Was he matir because it was a beis hamishtah, or was he matir because it was a beis ha'avel? So the truth is, the whole Gemara is a little bit difficult because we're saying that remember the maisa was with something. There was some unusual circumstance. Ask the Ritva. How can you prove from here that Rabbi Chanina disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Again, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the one that says all you ever need is machshava. And what did Rabbi Chanina do? He said you need machshava. That's what he said. That was his psak. It happened to have been in the case of Beis Hamishtah Beis Havel. How do you know the Beis Hamishtah Beis Havel is an exception? Maybe he said you need machshava, and the case that he happened to have been asked about happened to have been in a home where they were making a chasana that night, or where it was a beis ha'avel. But maybe he would have always told you need machshava alone, and you don't need a maisa. How is this a raya? How do you bring a raya that someone holds like the Tanakama, that Rabbi Kanin holds like the Tanakama, from a psak he gave, which is exactly the psak of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Right? We're just making the assumption, he only passed Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel because it's beis ha'avel, beis ha'mishtah. How can you make that assumption? That's the kasha of the Ritva. So that's where the Ritva explains. Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva Dafka said to his Talmidim that have a machshava now so that we consider it tomorrow in the Beis for the sake of a Beis HaAvel, a Beis HaMishnah, meaning he himself told them that it was only mutter because of the extenuating circumstance. It wasn't that they asked him a case, they asked him a shayla where it happened to have been an extenuating circumstance and he gave an answer. He told them in the teretz, in his answer, in his tshuva, that it's only mutter to do it this way, to have machshava alone without a maisa, because it's an extenuating circumstance. So says Shar Mitzvah Ba'alacha that it could be that there's an afgamina between Beis Ha'avel and Beis HaMishtah. Now, how big of a shasat chak do you need? Because the Gemara Maseches Ksuvah says that kavod ha'chasan and the shoshvinim of the chasan is gadol from kavod ha'meis and the avelim. That if you have the Gemara Ksuvah Saf Yud Zayin talks about if you have you have halvayas ames, and then there's someone else leading a schasen to the chuppah, and you're invited to both, or you could participate in whichever one. Kavod achayim beats kavod amesim. You participate in the chasna rather than participate in halvayas ames. And what's the big mitzvah of participating in the chasna? So the big mitzvah of participating in the chasna is that it's building a new family in Klal Yisrael. It's tzarich. Peruvu. I had a shayla recently. Someone asked me about they had a levaya in the family, and but the same day their wife needed to go in for fertility treatments. So what should they do? Should they miss a close family levaya for the, because you miss the treatments, it could be could lead a whole new cycle. It could be very, very difficult. So I said, I thought it was enough in the Gemara and Ksuvos. I said it's kavod achayim versus kavod amesim. What's the whole point of kavod achayim going to the chasna? It's to promote building a family in Klal Yisrael. So you're actually building a family in Klal Yisrael. I thought that was a clear Gemara and Ksuvos of what to do in that case. So anyway, so that's why, though, says the Shar Metzion Ba'alacha, if he was matir for the sake of the chasana, then for sure he would have been matir to rely on machshava alone for the sake of the base avel, because the chasana is considered a bigger tzorech. But if he was only matir for a base avel, so then maybe if he was matir for the sake of the base avel, then he for sure would have been matir for the sake of a chasana, which is a bigger tzorech. But if it was only matir for the chasana, then we don't know that he would have been matir to rely on machshava alone for the base avel as well. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara now. Last skinny line in Nunamad Aleph. Am Rav Yudah, Machnas Adam lo kupaso afar, va'oso ba'kol tzarcho. A person can bring in a box full of dirt from outside, and you can use it for whatever he needs on Shabbos. Meaning, if he wants to use that dirt for Shabbos needs, he's allowed to do that. What kind of Shabbos needs is he going to have with dirt? So Rashi says, "L'chasos botsoa v'rok umara aver bebeisa la'aretz v'nototam l'kol trachav." They use dirt for a lot of things. They used to have to cover up tsoa when they'd go to the bathroom. They'd have to cover up saliva. They would their house floors were dirt floors, so they would just throw down more dirt on the floor. That's the best way to clean the floor, add another layer. They would just throw down more dirt on the floor. So you're allowed to do that. That's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem in Mutzah. Darsh Marzutra Mishmeid Marzutra Rabba Vushi Yichido Keren Zavis. So Marzutra said, in Marzutra Rabba, that's only if you're Miyachi to Keren Zavis, if you designate a location for this dirt, because then it's considered Muchan, it's not considered Muktzah. But if you just stomp, put it in the middle of your house, so then it becomes Batel to the Karka of the house, and it's Muktzah, and it's Aser. Amar Rabban Kamed Rav Papa Keman. So we say, ooh, who's that going like? How do you take away the Muktzah status by being Miyachi to Makom? Who's that assuming like Rav Shimon Gamliel? That's assuming like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that machshava is all you need, that all you need to do is plan on how you're going to use it the next day. Dikrabanan, because if you would hold like the Tanakama, Ha'amri Bin and Maisa, Tanakama would say you need to do a Maisa, you need to do something to the dirt to designate it as non-mukta. So you see clearly that's going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amalu Rav Papa, Afilu Tem Rabbanan. Rav Papa says, nah, you could even say it's going like the Rabbanan. Adkan Lokam Rabbanan, the Bin and Maisa, El midi debar avida be'maisa. When did the Rabbanan say you need to do a maisa to take away mukta status? What was the case we were talking about? We were talking about firewood. So what do you do with firewood? Tie it up, and then you could use it as a chair instead of as firewood. Great. That's by firewood. What are you going to do to dirt? Is there any maisa? You can't tie up dirt. So when there's a potential maisa you can do, that's when the Rabbanan are going to say you need to do a maisa. But avol midi delo bar me'avda be'maisa. But something that you can't even potentially do a maisa too, well, then you don't need to do a maisa. Then everyone would agree that a machshava alone would suffice. That's how Rav Papa explains. So Neima Ketanai says, maybe this whole machlokas about what it takes to remove muktzah status is really a machlokas tanaim in a different context. And what we're going to do now is we're going to quote a contradiction between two brises, and we're going to have three ways of explaining the contradiction between the two brises. One of the ways, the first way we're going to suggest to explain this contradiction between the two brises is that they're arguing about whether you need a maisa to remove the mukta status or not. That's only, but then we're going to have two alternative ways to explain this contradiction. So, name a katanai, but kol chafenes hakelim chutz mikli kesef begartikon. You're allowed to rub kelim with anything except to use gartikon to rub kli kesef. What's gartikon? Rashi says it's some type of afar, some type of dirt that you find at the bottom of wine barrels, and apparently is very good, smooths out clay chesef. It apparently does a good job if you have silver to smooth out the silver kelim. So meaning that it's a violation of memachik, right? You're allowed to rub anything on kelim, but not the clay chesef. Because why is it a violation of memachik? Apparently, the clay chesef that they had rough edges, and when you would rub this on it, it would actually, you know, trim off or shave off some of the rough edges and therefore leave it very smooth. That's the definition of memachik, right? Memachik means when you smooth something by scraping off some of the parts of the surface. That was the confusion with Rav Moshe's tshuva about brushing teeth on Shabbos. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that if you use toothpaste, it's a violation of memachik. So Rav Shachter writes in Nefesh HaRav, they told Rav Soloveitchik that Rav Moshe held it's memachik to brush teeth on Shabbos. He said it can't be that Rav Moshe held it's memachik. It doesn't make any sense, because if he thought, what did they mean? What do they mean when he said memachik? That when you're cleaning your teeth, you're smoothing out your teeth. You're removing part of the teeth by smoothing out your teeth. What's memachik when you scrape off part of the item itself in order to smooth it out? So they said if brushing teeth were memachik on the tooth, then after you brushed your teeth 1,000 times, you wouldn't have teeth left. Meaning if it's really removing part of the tooth, then you wouldn't have teeth left after you brushed 100 times or 1,000 times. That's not what happens. You're removing dirt from the and other things, external material from the teeth. You're not removing part of the teeth itself. It turns out that that's not what Rav Moshe meant at all. Rav Moshe didn't hold it was memachik. He used the word memachik, but he really meant the told of memachik, which is memareach, that to take a substance like a cream and rub it smoothly over an area, that's considered to be memareach, even though you're not scraping anything off the item. He didn't mean that the teeth, you're being memachik the teeth. He meant you're being memareach the toothpaste. That's what he held. Oh, so that's a different discussion, whether it's a violation of memareach or not. Rav Shlomo Zalman agreed that it was a violation of memareach. Rav Shlomo Zalman also held that one is not supposed to use toothpaste. Rav Avadya has a tshuva where he does not believe that it's a violation of memareach, because he holds memareach is only when you smooth something out, you take a cream and you smooth it to leave it there, like you smooth a cream into your skin and it's meant to stay in your skin. But the toothpaste, you rub it on teeth and immediately wash it away. He thought that that's not a violation of Merech. Rav Soloveitchik also thought it was not a violation of Merech. But Memachik is when you're actually scraping the item itself. So anyway, Hanaser v'chol mutter. But if you were to rub something with sand, let's say, then that would be mutter, because that's not actually scraping smooth the item itself. Vatanya Neser v'chol asur. But here's the stira. This is the stira we're talking about. But it doesn't say Neser v'chol is asur. So are you not allowed to rub kelim with sand on Shabbos? We have a stira in Brises. So the first suggestion is, my lav b'hakom iflugi, shouldn't we suggest this is exactly what they're arguing about? The mar sover bein maisa, umar sover lo bein maisa. The one that says that it's aser doesn't hold it's aser because of memachik, he holds it's aser because of muktza, that you're not allowed to take this dirt and rub it on the kelim because of muktza. The one that says that it's mutter must be talking about where you took this dirt into your house before Shabbos. And since you were miyachided, even though you didn't do a maisa, it's enough to take away the muktza status of the dirt. So isn't this what they're arguing about? You took a box of dirt into your house before Shabbos. You didn't do a maisa on it because there's no maisa you can do on dirt. So you have this dirt in your house. You were miyachided in your mind. Is that enough to take away the muktza status of the dirt, which would therefore allow you to use the dirt on the kelim the next day? But it has nothing to do with the heter of the act itself of rubbing dirt on kelim. That for sure is muktza. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing whether the dirt is muktza or not. Says Marlo, that's not the discussion. That's not the issue. Dukuli amalobin and maisa. Really, everyone would agree that with the dirt, you don't need a maisa to take away its muktzah status. But lo kasha, harav yudadam davashen miskavin aser, harav yishum davashen miskavin mutter. The case is that you might be smoothing out the kli by rubbing the sand on it, by rubbing the dirt on it, but you might not be. And that's certainly not your intention. So the question is that mutter or not? This would be a davar shena miskaven. So that's the subject to machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon throughout Kala Tarakula, whether davar shena miskaven is aser or davar shena miskaven is mutter. So says in Gemara, "B'mayu kim to lahad shari k'Rav Shimon." Wait a second. You want to say that the brisa that says that it's mutter to take the sand and rub it on the kelim is assuming, like Rabbi Shimon, that a davar shein miskaven is mutter? Ema seifa avalo yichav b'amsaro. But the seifa says you're not allowed to take that sand and put it in your hair and rub it in your hair. Vi Rabbi Shimon mishra kashari. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that should be mutter, because we have a mishnah in Nazir that Nazir chofefu mefasfes. It's a mishnah Shabbos. Nazir chofefu mefasfes avalo sorek. That a Nazir is able to rub his hair with different shampoos or whatever, but he can't be Sarik, he only can't comb his hair. So don't you see that that's assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, not like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, meaning the assumption is that when you're Misarik, that you're it's going to be Davar Sheino Miskaven, and it's going to be Aser, so you're going to remove hair in the Davar Sheino Miskaven way. So how can you say that the sheet, that the Brisa that's going that says that its mutter is going like Rabbi Shimon, that same Brisa seems to assume that Davar Sheino Miskaven is Aser, not like Rabbi Shimon. Why is it Avalo Sorek? So Rashi says B'misrik Tevadai Meshir. Rashi says because then you're Vadai going to remove some hairs when you comb. Tulsa says that no, it's worse. It becomes a davar miskavin that you're actually having kavana to remove the hairs when you're sorek, meaning that the point of combing is that you have a few hairs that are sticking out when you comb it, so those hairs are going to be removed. So anyway, so that's the second possibility of explaining the stira and brises. Again, the second possibility is everyone agrees that you don't need a maisa to remove the muktzah status. The issue with the sand has nothing to do with the muktzah. It's a concern that you're inadvertently going to scrape the kalim smooth with the sand. So the brisa that says that it's mutter to do that whole Davar Sheino Miskaven is mutter like Rabbi Shimon. The Brisa says that it's also holds Davar Sheino Miskaven is also like Rabbi Yehuda. Third possibility, Elahava ha Rabbi Yehudi. So Rava says Gemara, maybe both Brises align with Rabbi Yehuda, that a Davar Sheino Miskaven is Aser. Utrei Tanai, Valibid Rabbi Yehuda. But it's a machlokas Tanai, Malibid Rabbi Yehuda. What Rabbi Yehuda held? Haitana Libid Rabbi Yehuda Savar Garir. Haitana Libid Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lo Garir. That both Brises hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Brisa that forbids using the sand is concerned that you might come to scrape the kalim smooth, whereas the other Brisa doesn't think that it's a realistic concern. Meaning it's only Davar Sheino Miskaven if it's a possibility, if it's a realistic concern that by doing this a malacha will happen. But if it's not a realistic concern that a malacha will happen, then it's not even a Davar Sheino Miskaven. It's not a realistic possibility at all. So that's the machlokas. Machlokas is, sounds like in Metzias. Is this really going to happen? When you rub the sand on the kalim, is it actually going to smooth out the kalim or not? So b'mayu kim to Rabbi Yehuda, so we're saying that we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, that these brises are going like Rabbi Yehuda. Ema sefer, but then if you read the sefer, it says av panav yad v'raglav mutter, that you're allowed to rub panav yad v'raglav with the sand. But hama averseir, but that's for sure. If you rub it on your face, you're going to be removing some hairs from your face, right? We're assuming everybody has hairs on their face, so you're going to be removing some hairs from your face when you rub it on your face. And Rabbi Yehuda davar sheino miskaven is aser, so that shouldn't be permitted. So says the Gemara, no, we're talking about people who don't have hair on their face. Who are the people who don't have hair on their face? Ibai seima bekatan, we might be talking about a child. Ibai seima beisha, or a woman. Ibai seima besris, or a sris, a person who's castrated, or whatever, is a sris, does not have levels of testosterone, or whatever, doesn't have hair on his face. So we're talking about those three types of people who don't have hair on their face, and therefore it's not even going to be davar sheino miskaven. There's nothing that's going to. It's going to happen when you rub the sand on your face. Am Rav Yehuda, afer levenasa shari. Rav Yehuda, so now the Gemara just gives a list of various items that you're allowed to rub onto kelim. So afer levenasa, if you crush a brick, you're allowed to use that dirt. Am Rav Yosef, kuspa dismin shari. If kuspa dismin, some other from crushing sesame seeds, you get some sort of ground up material, you're allowed to rub that in. Amarava offer pilpili shari, from peppercorns that you grind up. Amrav sheshes barda shari. So sheshes barda is also mutter. My barda, what in the world is barda? Amrav Yosef tilsa ahala v'tilsa asa v'tilsa sigli. Barda is a combination of three ingredients. 1/3 ahala, 1/3 asa, 1/3 sigli. Amrav Nechemi bar Yosef kol hecha deleka ruba ala shapir dami. He says, as long as Allah is not some type of root, some type of esev that's called Allah, so as long as that's not the majority ingredient, then it's okay. Then you're allowed to use it. Period. So that's the following shaila of Sheshes. New issue. Ma'aluf tzoa zesim b'shabbos. Is a person allowed to crush olives on Shabbos? Why would you want to crush olives? Says Rashi, ala sela lematik meriruso. It sweetens the olives. It takes away some of the bitterness of the olives. Tosus explains a little further. Pirush b'kuntros la'kosum ala sela lematik meriruson umi bayle yasir b'shabbos mishum shavuye uchla v'tukune uchla. What would be the isser? So crush it crushing an olive a little in order to make it sweeter. So Tosos explains that Rashi assumes that the isser is that it's like being masakin money. You're being masakin the yelchel by making it edible now on Shabbos. So Tosos points out that he doesn't think that's the issue. He thinks the issue is if that's the meaning. And then the Gemara's question is going to be that ubechol miyutiru, is that even allowed on a weekday where you're being mafsid ochlin, because the whatever liquid seeps out of the olives are going to be lost. So Tosfos just says, this should have been discussed in Dine Schita, where we talk about squeezing olives. That's where it should be mentioned. And also, how could the Gemara call that Hefsed Ochlim? You're making the olives sweet. That's not Hefsed Ochlim. You're making them edible in the first place. So Tosfos Yishanim, in the little letter, it says, no, we're talking about crushing the olives so you could use them to rub on your face. That's what we want to, and that's exactly what the topic of our Gemara. So it fits beautifully into our Gemara. So anyway, so back in the Gemara now, the Gemara says, "Amalu v'chi b'chol miyatiru." You think this is permissible to do on a weekday? So kasavr mishum hefsed ochlin. So we thought that why would it be also to do even on a weekday? It's because of hefsed ochlin. So lema pligud de Shmuel. Maybe this is going against Shmuel. Damar Shmuel also adam kol tzarcho b'pas. Shmuel holds you don't have to worry about hefsed ochlin. If you have some other use for food, then use the food for something else. You don't have to use the food as food to eat it. You could use the food for something else if you have some other use. Kol tzarcho you could do with pas. What's kol tzarcho? What are you going to do with bread? I remember when I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have napkins, but they had a lot of bread. So sometimes the guys would rub their hands in the bread to wipe off the grease from the greasy food. So sometimes it was better than the curtains. So which other guys use. So anyway, so kol tzarcho be pas. So you could do whatever you want with food. It doesn't matter. So amri pas lo mi isa, hani mi isi. No, the difference is pas is not disgusting. This is more disgusting. So amemar marzutra ravashi aviyasvi aisul kamei barda. They were all sitting there. They brought barda in front of them. Amemar ravashi mashu. So amemar ravashi rubbed it on themselves. Marzutra lo mashu. Marzutra didn't. What? Don't you hold the bardo's mutter that you're allowed to rub this? So Amaluhu Rav Mordechai Bar Minei Demar Tafilu B'chol Nami Lo Svirle. He says, yeah, we don't accept that opinion. Because even on a weekday, we would hold that it's not okay. Savla ki haditanya megar adam gilde tzov gilde maka sha'al besaro b'shvil tzaro. That a person is allowed to scrape his scabs for the sake of his tsar. Says Tosos, what do you mean for the sake of his tsar? V'im ein lo tsar acher elishem es bayish leilich bein b'nei adam shari. Dein lecha tsar godol mizeh. What kind of tsar do you need to be matir scraping off the scabs? Just being embarrassed is enough. Not only is it enough, that is the ultimate tsar. It's considered a tremendous tsar. Im b'shvil yapos aser, but if you're doing it to look more beautiful, so then it's going to be aser. What's the iser? Says Rashi, that it's a violation of the Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha to rub things on, to do hair removal, that kind of thing. So who did they hold like? That they held like, no, you're supposed to wash every day your hands, face, and feet for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam. As Rashi says, that it's a good thing to look dignified. So Maritzchia says, there's another reason why you would want to do this, why you'd want to wash on a consistent basis. Not just for the covet of the Ribbono Shel Olam in terms of for tefillah each and every day, but the Maritzchia points out that you also have the issue of health. He says, K'moshe Dorish Par Kapar, B'chol D'rachecha Da'eu, Zu Par Sheketan, Shekol Guvei Torah Tulim, V'cheinu Bram She'yasa Adam Kolas Yosef L'Shem Shemayim, that you should do everything L'Shem Shemayim, including Rachas that a person, for their own, to maintain a healthy way of living, they need to wash all the time. So then it becomes a very good thing to do, and not a violation of Lo Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha. Okay, I guess we'll pick up from the two dots tomorrow.